Normally, when I do a teaching, I tell you what the subject is, and then we go look at verses that deal with that particular subject that supports it. But tonight, we're going to do it backwards. I'm going to give you some scriptures, and then we'll take a look at what the subject is, and we'll put things together. And I want you to really listen carefully, because we're going to get into some things that are of great interest, I think, to you. I think you'll be, fascinated, if that's the right word, but to see God's word unfold is always fascinating to me. So listen carefully, and I trust you'll get blessed tonight. So, James, go to you in your Bibles. That's where we're going first. James chapter 3. Now, there's a part of the human anatomy that dictates the rest of the body, what it will do. It's a small member, but it determines things that affect the whole body. And once this little member is deployed and used, it can determine the course of thousands of lives. And you'll probably guess what it is when we read this first verse, chapter 3 in James, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So with our tongue, and of course it's a figure of speech talking about our language, our mouth, our tongue, our lips are incorporated to say words. And sometimes we have good blessed words and sometimes we don't. Verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and what?
Cursing.
Cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be. I trust that we can have things coming out of our mouth that are a blessing most of the time. Well, let's go to Proverbs. All right, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18. And we're going to look at some other verses along these lines.
Okay.
And verse 21. So, verse 21 in Proverbs 18. Here we go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, people that are in authority that when war's going on and they send people to war and thousands of people die, our history is full of that.
Can you turn up the volume?
Okay. It's Max. So, let's go to Proverbs 12. All right, Proverbs 12. And verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, I saw a sign in the front of our grocery store here locally. And it's interesting they had it out there today. And they always have some little proverb or some little saying. And it says, tell the truth and you don't have to remember it. But if you tell a lie, you do. Right? So if we tell the truth, then that truth stands on its own. So let's go to Proverbs 15. Verse 2. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, But the mouth of fools poureth out what?
Foolishness.
Yeah, folly or foolishness. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Let's look at some in Psalms. So let's go back to Psalms, go back to a book here. 139, Psalm 139, verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So God knows what we're going to say, doesn't he? He's all-knowing. He's got it all figured out. We can't hide anything from God. He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 1. It says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. You know, sometimes we talk about that we bridle our tongue or we bridle our mouth so that we control what we say. Because we don't want to just say any crazy dumb thing. We want to say something that would be a blessing. But our mouth, our language that comes out of there is a challenge sometimes. And we need to heed to that. Well, Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Wow, this is what we want to do. This is what language we want to have coming out of our tongue, out of our mouth, our lips, that we speak that which is right and that we have praise for our Heavenly Father all day long. So I think we see our tongue is quite a tool, isn't it? Blessings and cursings, it's quite something. Now, God's desire, obviously, is that we use it for good and godly purposes. There is one very important and vital aspect of our tongue, and that is it gives us access to the Father. We use our tongue to approach God and connect with Him. Now, when you pray, what do you use to pray? Do you use your elbows, your knees? No, you use your mouth, right? You use your tongue to approach the Heavenly Father. Really, when you look at God's Word as a whole, the whole of the Bible is how we approach God, how we have access to the Heavenly Father. Right in the beginning, Adam and Eve had a great setup with God. They had great communication going on, one with another, until they messed up, right? They did the one thing God told them not to do, and they lost that spiritual connection. And so all through the Old Testament, what did they have to do to become right before God or to approach Him in prayers and to have a relationship with Him? They would have to do sacrifices, all right? They had all these different sacrifices that they used to approach Him. And there's all kinds of different sacrifices, right? Animal sacrifices, meal sacrifices, burning of incense. You look in the Old Testament and there was all kinds of different sacrifices. And for the most part, all of these are with the purpose of approaching or having access to God. Also, these sacrifices were a shadow, an outline of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be, obviously, the ultimate sacrifice to make available a wonderful connection with the Heavenly Father. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offered Himself as the perfect sacrifice to open the door for believers to have a close and perfect access with the Heavenly Father, so they could fellowship with Him all the time, anytime. And of course, this came with the new birth, with the gift of Holy Spirit. And Adam and Eve, when they had spirit, they had a wonderful connection with God. They lost that spiritual connection, and they didn't have such a good relationship with God at that point. But now, with the new birth, this gift of Holy Spirit gives us a wonderful opportunity to connect with our Heavenly Father. Let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. In this section of Scripture, verse 28 of Hebrews 9, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You know, we've got a great hope like that too, huh? When he comes back for us. Now, verse 1 in chapter 10, which is the next scripture after verse 28, "For the law having a," what? "Shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." In other words, these sacrifices didn't fully do the job. It took the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give us a perfect connection with the Heavenly Father. And along this line of having an approach to God, there's a wonderful research work done by David Berge, and he did a book titled "Jesus Christ, Our Approach Offering." And he says some wonderful things in here in light of what we're talking about, and he explains the greatness of the truth of our approach and access to the Heavenly Father. So I'm going to read a couple pages here from this book. And he quotes Hebrews 9, 28, and then 10:1, where it says, "The law having a shadow of good things to come," remember we just read that, "and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." And so he makes comment. He says, and I quote, "The sacrifices under the law were set up by God in anticipation of the true and perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The," quote, "good things to come," end of quote, "which the sacrifices foreshadow were the coming Savior and his accomplishments. The approach by a sacrifice of the old covenant believer was a shadow of our approach to God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How do these sweet savor offerings portray the good things to come of the new covenant? How do we approach God in prayer in the New Testament?" And he goes to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, and I'll read this for you. "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And I'm going to read this last verse here, this last part. "For through him we both have access by" what? "One Spirit unto" who?
"The Father."
Now these verses, I'm quoting from the book again, these verses mention two aspects of our approach to God. First, our approach, our reconciliation to God is by the cross. Christ, by his death on the cross, became our approach offering. Second, as verse 18 says, our approach to God is by the Spirit. quote, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, end of quote. Our access to God is by the gift of Holy Spirit we have within. Our moment-by-moment entry into God's presence is facilitated by this Spirit. So the Spirit, and these are my words, the Spirit that we have at the new birth is what connects us to our Heavenly Father. All right. Then David Berge mentions Ephesians 6:18. And he says, Ephesians 6:18 mentions that we are to approach God in prayer by the Spirit. And he quotes verse 18 here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In addition, David goes on to say, to prayer and supplication in the Spirit, it also exhorts us to continue watching thereunto with all perseverance. God's Word makes this a priority. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 defines prayer in the Spirit. And that's a good question, isn't it? What is this prayer in the Spirit that gets us to connect with God? So, 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians says there are two ways to approach God in prayer under this new covenant, with the Spirit and with the understanding. Verse 14 says, when you pray with an unknown tongue, speaking in tongues, you have no understanding of the words spoken. The chapter continues with more explanation on praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. And then he quotes verses 16 through 18. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So, this is giving of thanks. When you speak in tongues, part of that is in giving of thanks. Both verse 16 and 17 refer to speaking in tongues as giving thanks. Hebrews tells us how much God appreciates our giving of thanks. And I'm going to quote Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So how would we give this praise to God continually? The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And how can we give thanks to his name perfectly? Speaking in tongues. And then this verse, in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The outward ceremonial acts of the Old Covenant anticipated the inward spiritual realities of the New Covenant. Now, we can bless with the Spirit, and we can give thanks well by speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, 16, and 17. Perfect praise is available to us because of Christ's perfect work. These sacrifices of praise from the Spirit were first presented to God on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Speaking in tongues is not a minor manifestation of little importance. Here on the day of Pentecost, all the fullness of what Christ accomplished on the cross was made available for the first time. On this remarkable day, the apostles offered to God the sacrifice of praise by way of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. Isn't that fascinating? The day of Pentecost inaugurated a new beginning in approaching to God. A few weeks before, Jesus had paid the price, the ultimate price, by laying down of his life as the final and perfect sacrifice of all time. The sacrificial shadows and types of the Old Testament were fulfilled. On this day, in Acts 2, God gave the gift of Holy Spirit to facilitate our moment-by-moment access to Him. What a full and complete salvation we have in Christ! We have boundless resources at our disposal. At any time, in any place in the world, we can have access to God by speaking in tongues. We can walk into God's holy presence by prayer in the Spirit. So I thought that was a great insight of God's word here, looking at the uniqueness of speaking in tongues. For many, speaking in tongues is kind of an odd, awkward expression. Why would God want us to speak different languages to Him? You know, it's no wonder most people and most Christian denominations dismiss it as some offbeat Christian determination and dismiss it as some offbeat product of Christianity. But if they only knew the scriptures on the greatness of speaking in tongues, that with that tool, that one instrument that we have, our mouth, our tongue, that we can speak words that are perfect praise to our Heavenly Father. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Why was there speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost? Well, they exercised the reality of the Spirit they knew they had received, and they were praising God perfectly by speaking in tongues. So, it's pretty unique, the speaking in tongues, isn't it? It does make sense how God put it together to incorporate our tongue, our mouth, our lips to speak perfectly to the Heavenly Father. It is perfect praise and thanksgiving to God. And remember 1 Corinthians 14:2, when you speak in tongues, you don't speak unto men, but you speak unto God. So do you see how dynamic and awesome speaking in tongues is? And it's no wonder the devil has worked overtime to put down this act of speaking in tongues. Yet, we can see how magnificent it really is. We have a perfect and immediate access to God anytime, anywhere. We don't have to wait for Sunday. We don't have to wait for some person to let us in. We have access 24/7. And I hope you now will cherish the privilege you have to talk directly and perfectly to God. You can perfectly praise Him, thank Him, make perfect intercession for the saints. So my encouragement to you tonight is, let's speak in tongues much as we remember the uniqueness of speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Amen.